AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That's it. Okay, before we get started today, I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize a few of our 2024 sponsors. One of them is Average Jack Archery, LLC, 21 North Front Street in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. They are Matthews, Elite, Bear Dealers, among a ton of accessories, targets, all kinds of stuff. Nate Sellers, YouTuber, he's got a ton of stuff going on his YouTube channel, a lot of informative videos he puts up at Average Jack Archery. You can find that on YouTube, and he's got a ton of really great videos on there. They got indoor, new indoor range, and then he just opened here about a month ago. And his leagues have started for January, and they may have started, but it's not too late to join. So if you're interested in joining or you're in the area and you need any type of things archery-related, give Nate a call down there, 814-761-0675. Another sponsor I'd like to tell you about is Weaver's Archery. They're down in Middleburg, PA, Route 522. They joined us last year also for the first time, and they've got a really great facility. I stopped down there last year right before they have a really big indoor tournament down there. They are 10-point dealers, Matthews, Hoyt, PSC, Elite. They've got all kinds of stuff down there. They do an indoor 3D league, an indoor 3D traditional league. They've got a techno league. They've got a three-spot league. They have got a ton of events going on down there. I would give them a call if you're down in the Middleburg area, 570-837-1418. Stay tuned after the pod because we will have information on two more of our other sponsors. And this is something we're going to try to do before and after every podcast we put on. We're going to try to do a little bit of a highlight of our sponsors. Salute, sir.
Salute.
RBD podcast number two. Everybody goes, how's everybody doing? We're going to talk a little bit about this past weekend's warm-up here held at RAM. We had a bunch of really good shooters come down and just kind of recap what we've seen and maybe talk a little bit of Lancaster because the Classic's next weekend, and I don't know if I'm 100% ready.
I know I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I feel actually... I've been shooting pretty decent. I feel like I'm fatiguing way, like, just fast. You know what I mean? Like, I get through, like, I'm shooting, like, I can shoot probably, I can get 30 in, and then that next 30 is going to be a real problem. I don't know if it's because we shoot so much faster here than down there, but I'm hoping that the long pauses down there is going to help me. Help my body, because I'm telling you, I mean, the pace we're running up here for whatever reason is really kind of grinding on me, and I've been shooting all right, but it's like, man, I gotta be able to shoot like that for 4 hours, you know what I mean? And that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I feel like that's always our mentality going down there, right? We run such a, I'm gonna call it fast pace here at RAM, where it's 2 minutes on the clock, and as you know, over the years, right, down at Lancaster, it's really more like 4 or 5 minutes in between each end.
I don't remember. I mean, I know last year it ran long, but I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention to how long it ran, because I feel like, yeah, most years we get started 4 and we're kind of scrambling for dinner, but I feel like it's still scrambling at like 7:30, right, or something like that. Maybe like by the time we get over to the Longhorn or Roadhouse, it's like 8 o'clock. I don't think we got out of there last year. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to the time. I think you had said something, and Josh, maybe, like, we weren't getting out of there. We didn't get out of there like 8:30.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or something like that.
I feel like we didn't sit down to actually eat Texas Roadhouse until almost like 9:45, 10 p.m. last year. It seemed like an outrageous long time. But, I mean, we did have that medical incident like 2 ends into our
line. Mean, even so, I mean, that's probably – and now they're starting us a half an hour later this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why that 12 o'clock line was such a sought-after line, which we tried to get into, but we procrastinated, and we're like 2 weeks behind schedule. So then, we're on 4:30.
I'm still kicking myself that we didn't jump on that the second registration opened, but live and learn.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, you know, we don't stay near the venue, so we're always out near the restaurants anyway, so it's not that major of a deal. I mean, the only thing that makes it an issue is if there's any of us that are shooting on Saturday, and normally somebody's shooting on Saturday. I mean, it for the longest time, I was shooting on Saturdays, and now Mosier's been shooting on Saturdays. So, I mean, normally someone has got to get up early to go back there and shoot. So that does kind of suck getting in so late, but yeah, it is what it is. So we'll get back to Lancaster here in a minute. So we had 2 rounds of warm-ups at the shop over the weekend here. I mean, and there have been a ton of shops firing up warm-ups all over the place. I mean, none of us had gone to – did Matt go to any? Matt might have went to – no, Matt went to whatever House Nick was putting on up there at his club once. But I don't think any of us have shot any other warm-ups. But, I mean, there have been a pile of them going on. As you may suspect, I mean, there are good archers that go to all over. Brady Myers was just at the Kinsey's, had one, the Kinsey's Fling or whatever they call it. That Olivia Dean, who I've never met, man, she's a really good shooter. She seems to be winning everything she goes to. I seen that she had won that Rockville Rumble.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a warm up or if that's just its own standalone tournament.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
Have you ever shot that one?
I haven't. Nope. It's always one that I want to, and I feel like it creeps up on me around the holidays. And next thing I know, it's long gone.
Caleb Spencer went down to that. That's the one he went to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Caleb and them guys.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, no, I think Olivia won that. So, I mean, there have been a pile of warm-ups, so we're just kind of in another, you know, we're just another place hosting a warm-up. But, you know, what we try to do down here is Saturday we had all the heavy guns down here shooting. I kind of make it like an invitation-only type of deal, and I know there's pushback every year because I forget somebody or I don't put somebody on who thinks they should be there or whatever. But, I mean, I try to have guys that have shot 640 or better at Lancaster come and shoot on that invitation list. I mean, the only one who's never done it is Matt. And I find it impossible to keep him out because he has won it, beating like Louis Price and guys like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep him off the list, even though he is the only one that ever makes that list that hasn't shot a 640 at Lancaster.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, right? I mean, he came here last year. He beat Louis on the final arrow, and then he comes back this year and he finishes, you know, top 3.
Yeah. Right? No, so, yeah, I mean, and I know he was kicking his teeth.
Oh, absolutely, right?
He lost to Matt Burns, who ended up winning.
Yep.
Did he lose in a... He didn't lose in a shoot-off. He just lost straight up in those 12 arrows, right?
Yeah.
Like, he just had a few bleed out for 10s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, right? Getting into how that finished, Matt Burns was not missing.
No, and it's funny because – not that it's funny, right? So, you know, with Facebook now, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, sure.
And I've met Matt Burns a couple times. You know, he's a kid from Alfred State. He runs in the same circles a lot of the kids that shoot down here, Stungich and Houseneck and Adam, and a couple of the guys that were down here last year. So, like, you know, we run in the same circle. So it's not that I didn't know who he was, but it's also, like I said, when that invitation list goes out, it's hard for me to keep track of every single person that's shooting 640s or better at Lancaster that I can invite, because I don't know everybody. Like, if I did, I'd have that Olivia Dean. She would have been certainly on the list because she's local and she is a hammer.
Yeah.
Right. So Matt Burns, who originally was on the Sunday Open warm up, ended up, you know, he really wanted to get in on Saturday, and is just luck would have it, we had enough people drop out where he came up and shot, and he did shoot. I mean, I don't remember what ended what. I mean, he shot one of the elimination brackets clean. So I think that was the NDB John Scott in, maybe.
I believe that was the game.
And I mean, and Johnny was hammering too. So it's like, I think John might have dropped one or two, mm-hmm. but Matt dropped none. And Matt ended up winning the entire thing. And I won't say that I didn't see it coming, but I think you had mentioned that the top three or top four that were shooting up that day were probably not the top four that we would have.
No, and it's kept. It's not a slam at any of those four individuals by any means, right? It's just when you look at that list of 16 people, you're really just pulling a name out of the hat of who's going to come away with the money at the end of the day. But you have some favorites. You have people that have done it over and over again, you know, like Glenn Boardwell, and you never can count out our boy Matt.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, you can never count out Matt. And, you know, but this weekend there were guys that were just hammering. Yeah, I mean, like right. Nate Sellers.
Yeah, average Jack.
I mean, you know, me and Nate talked about this quite a bit the other day. I've known Nate for a handful of years now, right? And I met Nate, and a lot of people may only know Nate as, like, average Jack. He's got his YouTube channel. He's got a pretty popular outdoor YouTube channel, right? He does, you know, tips, hunting tips, and bow reviews, and product reviews, and all these type of things. And it's funny because him and I were talking about how I think most people correlate him with that type of stuff. Right? Now, when I first met him, I didn't know any of that stuff about him. I didn't know he had a YouTube channel. I didn't know anything else. All I know is he came up here with a hunting setup, shot a blue face tournament I was having, and shot like a 358X with like 40-something inside out with a hunting rig. And I thought, who is this dude? Right? Like, how have I never run across this dude before? This dude is a hammer. Mm-hmm. Right? So I know Nate could shoot.
Yeah. Right? I mean, he made the top 16 last year at Lancaster in bow hunter. Right? We know he can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he was, you know, he was the old kind of like, oh, you know, I'm just switching to open. I don't know how good I'll do. And then I'm watching him sit down here and deal on Saturday. And, you know, I never wanted to say anything while anybody's shooting. But I'm like, holy smokes, this dude is tacking. Yeah, I mean, let's say.
Just to put it in perspective, right, he shot a 328 on Saturday with a 9.
Yeah, and he was, he shot 14 of his first 15. And he shot 14 of his next 15. And that one was a 9, one was a 10.
Yeah, so a 327.
Yeah, so, correct. I mean, he was
hammered.
Right, so it shouldn't be a surprise that he was in the top four of that shoot-up, but he ended up finishing in second, losing to Matt. But that was also like an epic battle of extra innings, right? It's like Matt had to shoot a 12, I think.
Well, it was 14 arrows to win it, right? So they were tied after 12. They went to score closest to center, and it went 11-11. And then we went to the 14th arrow. You got to give it to Matt Burns. Matt Burns was shooting first. He shot a 12, smoked it, and basically put all the pressure on
him. Yeah, and within that round of 12 arrows, there were other opportunities where they each had to hit 12s, and they hit 12s, right? So, I mean, those guys were dealing. So, yeah, I mean, so our top four for that day, the shoot up for the top four ended up being Matt was in four, Nick Quava was in three, Matt Burns was two, and Nate ended up qualifying one. And basically, so Matt finished in third, Nate finished in second, and Matt ended up winning the entire thing. And I was pretty pumped for Matt. Burns to win that thing. I always like seeing another PSC shooter come up here. Able to take things home. I mean, you know, Nick Quava, there's a kid there that I feel like I got to stop sleeping on, right? Because all he does is come up here and take out whomever, right? You know what I mean? He gets in the bracket matches, and all of a sudden, no one wants to shoot Nick Quava. I don't know if it's his, like, left-handed mojo he's got or what, but, you know, I was – I don't want to sound like I was surprised, but just based on the way Glenn was shooting his qualifying score and how Nick qualified, I had thought that Glenn, you know, might have handed it – had an easy – not an easy match, but, you know, I think Glenn would have slipped by him. So I was pretty surprised. I don't know why, though, because I've seen Nick do it before. So Nick bumped – Glennie out for his spot in the top four. This year was the highest scoring shoot we've ever had.
Yeah, especially from a qualifying standpoint. I mean, after the qualifications, we got into the quote-unquote bracket, right? I mean, they were some heavy hitters. Those matches were coming back 131, 132.
You know, the qualifying scores were, the majority of them were really high. Guys are shooting in the mid to high 20s. Mm-hmm. There were a couple that shot in the teens.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But once they got into them head-to-heads...
Oh, that was a bloodbath.
People were not missing.
No.
Like, I mean, you were losing a match and shooting a 130.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, that's why I have that. That's kind of what that shoot is about, right?
I mean, I even believe there was one matchup, and I don't remember who it was, that came back, and they were 131, 131, and they had to go to closest to center, right? I mean, that is the best that you could probably ask for, minus 132.
All right, we're dead. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, those elimination matches were insane. And, you know, some of the shooters, well, we all have our favorites. You know, I was really pulling for Katie. I thought, you know, she seems like every year she gets like the hardest draw, or it seemed like, and I'd have to go back and look, but I feel like she has lost or has shot against John in 3 years in a row or something like that. Like, it seems like Kay shoots real good, then gets matched up against John and John snuffs her out. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? But that's why we do that shoot. I mean, that shoot is for those archers that came here on Saturday. Those are people who potentially are going to be trying to shoot on that final stage or at least make the cut. They're going to be part of that top 64 down there that are going to be shooting in them bracket matches on Saturdays. So I'm sure they don't care who they shoot against because they're probably coming down here to get a little taste of that pressure.
Absolutely right. And I mean, I think that definitely proved it on Saturday. I don't know if there's anyone that walked through your door that thought, I've got this in the bag, because there's 15 other people that, you know, you can't sleep on.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, even like last year, I would say, like, you know, we didn't have anybody qualified with a 30X last year. In fact, we only ever had one 30X shooter, and that was Louis last year. I mean, Louis's phenomenal. And I would think anybody that was taking bets last year, that's where my money was, oh, yeah. Right? I mean, and then you just never know. I mean, there's so many good shooters around that you're talking about one little slip, mm-hmm. and someone's going to be able to take you out. I mean, so you're right. I always try to think or try to pick who may end up at the top or may end up in the podium spots, and I'm never right. I'm never right any. So I have fun picking, but it drives me crazy because I never get any of them right. And then, you know, and then we had the Sunday Open shoot. You know, and the Sunday Open shoot, to me, is for those guys that are striving to get to the level that those Saturday shooter or those invitational type shooters are at now. Now, that's where I get a little bit of the pushback, right? Like, some of those guys are, you know, I don't care. I'm not one of these guys that are giving out handouts. You want to come here and you want to get on the invitation list for Sunday or the invitational list for next year, come here and do an open shoot and step on everybody's throats.
Yeah.
Right? Come here, put up a big score, shoot a 628 qualifier, roll through brackets, shoot a ton of, you know, leave everybody in your dust, and then you're going to be on the invitation list. So, but, you know, like, I have said it all the time, and it's, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, I'm not one of those dudes who thinks, if you're a guy that's shooting consistent scores like 310 splits, 305 splits, 307 splits, and that's kind of where you're at, I don't believe it necessarily does you any good to come here and shoot against some dude or someone who's going to shoot a 325 or 328. I don't think it does them any good. I don't think it does you any good, because you're just going to come in and get your head caved in. It's not going to teach you anything. And it doesn't do the other person any good, because they're kind of on cruise control because they know they're going to get you by 20 points. I mean, I think the really slim margins, like we had on Sunday for that open, those guys weren't shooting. I mean, they were shooting well. They were all within margins. They were all close. You know, so they were all close competition. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you had a couple bigger scores put up, you know. Jake shot a 319. I think Caleb Spencer might have had a 313 or 314 or something like that. Maybe a 315. Yeah. He might have been a little bit higher. You know, but for the most part, everybody was kind of coming in right around the same. Caleb shot a 315, right? So everybody else is coming in right around the same. I mean, and I think that is an added pressure, right? Like, when you know you have the same margin of error that everybody else has, right? You're not kind of shooting with reckless abandon, knowing that you may not be close. You know, there's a big difference between coming in to an event where you think you're absolutely not going to compete and coming in with no expectations, shooting a big score, which I would argue some people can do.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, go somewhere, think, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to get anywhere near these guys. I might just come and rip it and grip it. Mm-hmm. And you put up a big number versus going somewhere where your expectations are, I can win, and then kind of see where the chips may fall.
There's definitely that sort of factor, right? Of being somebody who walks into an event who doesn't belong there and they know it. Right, they're relaxed. Their shot breaks 10 times easier versus going to an event where they think, I should podium this. And now every single shot, right, there's tension, there's, you know, there's torque, there's all that kind of stuff that plays a big role from a X turn into a 10 or a 10 turn into a 9.
It is the expectations of things. I mean, I know for me, like, when I could sit up here and practice and shoot high 20s and shoot, you know, high 650s, mid 650 type qualifying scores. But when I go down there to the Classic, man, I mean, because I expect out of myself to put those scores up, and maybe because I also think a little bit that other people expect me to put up them type of scores, sometimes I don't, because that's a heavy weight to carry sometimes. You know, some people can't carry that weight. Some people let that chew them up, you know, and it's tough. You know, me and Nate Sellers were talking. It's like, you're putting holes in paper.
Yep.
I don't care how you put holes in paper. It doesn't mean you're a bad man or a bad person because your holes in the paper ain't as good as the next guy's holes in the paper. But it's because, like, you're greedy. You want them, you know, it's like everybody wants it so much. And it's hard to, for me, it's like hard to not want it so bad.
I mean, I struggle with it too, right? It's not, for me, it's not being greedy. The want for me is what it's always been in my life. It's the competitive thing, right? It's you have it, I have it, and you can see it in certain individuals. I don't care what people think of me when it comes to putting holes in paper, but I know damn well I care about my competitive edge, right? Oh. Just as much as you do. And we talk about it every year for Lancaster, going back to that. You can sit here in your shop, relaxed on a Wednesday night, and shoot 650, 645, 655, right?
Yeah.
But whatever your average ends up, you're probably going to drop about 5 points every game, so 10 points cumulative down in Lancaster. So if you're a 650 shooter, you're on the fringe of a 640.
That's what I always, I mean,
that's what you always say, and I think that holds true.
I tell everybody that. I think when someone comes in here and asks what Lancaster's like or what they need to do to qualify down there, particularly, like, so in men's open, right? Or
yep.
I would say that whatever you're consistently practicing in, you can take 10 to 12 points off that floor, right? So if the cut down at Lancaster for men's open is 640 and you're not consistently shooting 645, 650, 651,
mm-hmm.
or making these big splits where you're shooting 325, 326, something like that.
Yeah.
I think you can cut 10 points off that score. So, and that's where you need to consistently practice, right? I'm not talking about like what your best game of the week is, right? So you might shoot your best game of the week and it might be a 650. But if you're consistently practicing at 640,
mm-hmm.
I think that could run into some problems because I think you might go down to Lancaster and shoot a 630. Now, that's not everybody.
No,
I mean, I'm not saying – I've made every single one of them but two. So I could tell you over all the years of being down there, what I have seen is that's basically how I see a lot of the people I know. That's how their scores fluctuate. I know that's how my scores fluctuate because I'll shoot in the mid-50s, and if I go down there and have a good weekend – I might shoot a 644 or a 643 or a 645. I think the best I ever shot down there was 646. And, you know, that's still like middle of the pack down there, right? You know, because there's still some guys that are shooting 650s down there.
Oh, yeah, right. And, I mean, it holds true for me. This will be my third year at Lancaster, right? I'm still early in the game, but – consistently here at the shop, right? I'm a 640, low to mid 640 shooter. But if you look at my Lancaster scores, they're low to mid 630s, right? I'm off the cut, but it holds true to your 10 point
like deduction. Matt is a guy who Matt hasn't been down to Lancaster in a bunch of years. But the first few years Matt and I went down there, Matt would practice and compete down there at his practice level. So, when we had first started going down there, the cut wasn't quite as salty as it is now.
Sure.
I mean, so, you know, he was missing the cut by a few points, but he would still practice in like 635, 633, 634. And he would go down there and he would shoot a 635, right? And he'd miss the cut by, you know, I think the very first year him and I went down together, he might have missed a cut by 1 or 2 points.
Right.
So he's always been able to, for the most part, like, I think Steve Mosier, he's another guy. He seems to compete down there at the level he practices in. I think he would argue that because I think when he gets down there, he feels like he is dropped off the edge of a cliff. But
yeah.
I think his scores would tell a different tale.
I would say, yeah, like for Steve's a very prime example, right? Like, I would say he doesn't hold true to the 10-point deduction at all. Like, he would argue that, like you said, but he's probably like 2 or 3 points less than what he practices here. I mean, Steve goes down there and consistently shoots good in that senior open.
Yeah.
Year after year, right? I mean, all jokes aside, we go down to Lancaster every year, and it's like, well, we got to stick around until Saturday because Steve's going to be in it.
Steve's been in it the last 3 years, three or four,
something
like that. So, I mean, when he turned 50, he was able to compete in that with them senior guys, right? Mm-hmm. And him and I are down here practicing every morning. Not every morning, every other morning until the weather now is turns to zero. And he's been shooting above the cut line, not just barely above the cut line, but he's been shooting where he might split a 640, six high 630s, maybe, yeah. You know, so He's been practicing pretty high. And as if he drops off down there from that score, he's probably still within the cut.
I was going to say, last year, what was the cut for senior open? It was like 618, 620?
Yeah, I thought it was around 620. So, I mean, that's a score he should easily be able to get for as much as he shoots, right? I mean, I'd be interested to see what I'm always interested to see after the warm-ups here and following the local archers that I do follow on Facebook and whatnot. I'm always interested to see what their scores translate down there to at Lancaster. I mean, like, I know Glenn Boardwell. He always shoots well down there.
Always.
I honestly feel like he shoots better down there than I see him shoot in a number of other places, right? I mean, he shot he shot really good here.
Yeah.
Glenn had a really good qualifier round. He just got nipped out by Nick in the brackets. And like we talked about earlier, anybody can lose to anybody in that bracket.
Yeah, right. I mean, so, those are the best 16 guys you're going to face in the area, right? And all it comes down to, like you said, is your best 12 arrows and one person has a slight bobble and it's an off the X and you're out.
Yeah, and right? I think, you know, Glenn always shoots well down there. I think Katie said her cut down there for the women's pros around 640. Man, those girls are laying it down if that's the cut. I guess I never paid that much attention to what the cut was in women's pro, but if it's the 640 to make that top 16, that's pretty salty. So I know, but
Katie can do it, right?
Well, she's been practicing at that clip.
Easily.
She's shooting them itty bitty skinny 23s. I know she would have. She probably would have had four or five more points. I think she shot a clean three. I think she was a 323.
Yeah.
Clean. And I think she probably cheated herself out of 4 points.
Yeah,
with those 23s versus 27s. But it's hard to say because I know how forgiving those 23 arrows probably fly for her at that draw line. But I tell you, the funniest picture of the day was watching her and John square up in the brackets because John is so giant and Katie is so tiny. So looking at those two standing next to each other in their Hoyt jerseys,
matching Hoyt jerseys
next to each other, it looked a little funny. But
I do appreciate that. And I always feel bad when it comes to this Lancaster warm-up because, you know, the last couple of years, I feel like Katie just keeps drawing the short straw. You know, last year she shot a 315 with a zero because of a release malfunction, right? I mean, she
gets bitten down here sometimes.
Just some of the warm-up stuff.
Yeah, it's like a weird deal for her down here. That's why I think, like, I don't ever root for one particular person when they come through the door. But I think if you had to hold me down and say you need to pick one person you want to win, I feel like I pick Katie every single time because I just like her to see take it to all the boys.
We all have a fan favorite, right?
Take it to all the boys. So we're going to be heading out of here on Thursday morning. We're heading to the showroom. We're going to be down there. We shoot it Friday at 4:30, along with, I think, just everybody from the shop here is going to be down there shooting at that time.
Yep.
And we'll be down there watching everybody else shoot. I mean, a lot of people are mixed. I think a lot of the rest of the local guys that we know, maybe they're shooting 12:30, you know.
Yeah, it's a mix from what I heard. I've talked to everyone this weekend. It sounds like it was a mix between the 12:30 line and the 8 o'clock line. There's Friday.
I was looking at the registration today just to kind of get an idea of who might be shooting at 4:30 on Friday. And I only made it down through a couple classes. And I know that line's probably filled, but I couldn't find that in any. I don't know when they're going to put out the bail assignments, but I'm hoping soon. I'd like to be able to see that soon. So, I mean, that's what we're going to be doing here at the end of the month. And then after Lancaster, we're going to definitely do a recap of Lancaster when we get back. And then we're going to be heading into a few other indoor tournaments, I guess. I mean, we got leagues rolling. A lot of these other shops have got leagues going. But I'd like to try to make it down to Weavers. Weavers has got their Weavers has got a big tournament the end of February, the beginning of March. I think it's like right around that final weekend of February. I think it's February 27th, and it may roll into March. I think it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So probably Thursday is February 27th, Friday is the 28th, Saturday is the 1st. I think the first Saturday is when they're starting their is when they do all their shoot-ups and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think Thursday, Friday is the quote-unquote qualifications, and then Saturday, Sunday is when the shoot-ups begin.
Yeah, and I plan on – well, I mean, that ought to be a fun shoot because we ought to be able to get down there and chat with some of the other fellas. Like, I'm sure Jasper is shooting that. Nate's going to go shoot it again. I'd like to go down. I'm definitely going to go down and shoot it on Friday. Now,
I was going to say, you and I are going down Friday to shoot it.
The rub on that tournament is I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it back down on Saturday for the qualifiers, but Weavers is a sponsor of the RBD, and I'd like to go down there and shoot their event. So whether or not I can make it back on Saturday or not, meh, whatever. But I'd like to go down there knocking around with the guys for a little bit. So that's one of the upcoming indoor things we're going to be doing. I don't know. No one's really doing indoor nationals.
No.
That's kind of in February. We might be able to get somebody on that's doing indoor nationals. I don't Eli.
Eli, maybe, yeah.
Eli might be doing it.
We can talk about that. I mean, we're still waiting to hear if Ike's going to do his 3D shoot.
Yeah, Ike Laredo at Laredo's Archery. That is one that normally happens in February, sometimes happens in March. That's another indoor 3D tournament that we're looking forward to going to do. And that's basically where our next 2 months are going to be. It's going to be the Classic, then maybe a few things in February, you know, finishing up. Well, not finishing up the leagues. We'll be mid-league.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the next time we get on, we can talk about – we'll talk about the warm-up or talk about the Classic, talk about whatever we got coming on in February. I'm sure there'll be some league matchups here we can talk about.
We could also probably talk to I think – Eli going to Vegas. There's some people that we know that are going to Vegas that we probably could bring
I'll
in.
Tell you, that'd be an interesting one. We can get Eli on here, and we could talk a little Vegas with Eli. You know, maybe we can get the Boardwells back on here. That'd be fun. I don't know.
I think that's probably the next major tournament after the Classic, right, where we want to start talking to some
people. You know, it's funny because they had moved to Vegas this year, and I was talking to Glenn and Katie about it, and I guess I had never thought about, like, the – conflict of the in the pro schedule, right? Because Foley is in February.
Yep.
Now Vegas is in March. And I think it just adds like a weird hiccup to people's bow setups and how they're kind of shooting. Because for years, you know, Lancaster was piggyback with Lancaster, or Vegas was piggyback with Lancaster.
Right.
So you're shooting Lancaster, going right to Vegas. Then most guys would shut it down, get their 3D bows out, or do whatever they got to do, get ready for Foley, hit Foley, and then still have enough time to come back and get ready for indoor nationals, which normally happens sometime in the middle of March.
Yep.
I'm sure there has been, some kind of information put out or some kind of deal of why they moved Vegas. Into March like they did, you know, and I'm sure it's not really that big of a deal, but it does add a little bit of something extra that the pros got to think about a little bit, you know, being sandwiching a 3D tournament in between Lancaster, Indoor Nationals, and then Vegas. In the middle of that, you got Foley. That probably is a little bit of a weird dynamic, I would think.
I would think so, right? I mean, there's for most of us that are shooting indoor and outdoor, right? We're running two different bows, but there is still that setup. There's just a change of mentality, right? I mean, just sitting there and shooting 60 arrows over and over and over versus walking a 30 target course is a different mentality. Now, does it affect the pros? Probably not, but it's probably a little different this year, and I'm sure Glenn and Katie are going to have to adjust.
I mean, I think it's probably definitely more just of a mental thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, like, I know how razor sharp your attention has to be when you go to these events. Like, you got, if you're not, like, razor focused on every arrow, it becomes hard. So I could, you know, I don't know. Man, I'm just becoming kind of a bit of a mashed potato brain in my old age. I don't know if that's something I would have the ability to focus on like that. But, I mean, who knows? It might not, I mean, it just seems like it. Maybe because they changed the venue is why they moved the dates, but it'll be something they had to deal with. So it'll be interesting to see how everybody kind of transitions to the new pro schedule, but that's something we'll be able to talk about the next time too. So, yeah, well, I think that might be all we got for you today, folks. We will get back at it. I think we should do another one right when we get back from vacation.
Yeah, I would like to wrap one up right.
Unless some kind of crazy stuff happens here in league in the next like week or two, but yeah. I think we just do one right when we get back from Lancaster and we kind of let everybody know how we shot, what some of the rest of the guys are shot. Maybe we can get somebody on here, get some of the locals on here, and they can kind of yap a little bit about how they were doing. But yeah, all right. Well, salute. Until the next one.
Cheers.